Blog Talk Radio.
I took quarter water, stole it in bottles for $2. And Coca-Cola came and bought it for fiends. What the fuck? Have a baby by me, baby. Be a millionaire, I write the check before the baby comes. Who the fuck cares? I'm stanky rich. I'ma die trying to spin this shit. Southside's up in this bitch. Yeah, I smell like the boat. I used to sell dope. I did play the block, now I play on boats. In the south of France, baby. Stand your pay, get a tan. I'm already black. Rich, I'm already that. Gangster, get a gag. Hit a head in a hat. Call that a little rap shit. Fuck the chit chat and the big gun. Bake the bread. A barber, I cut your head. A marksman, I spray the lead. I blood cut.
One, two, one, two.
All right. We are in the place to be. Hi, Kim. We up in here. How are you doing down here in Philly?
Man, we doing good. Doing good.
You know, I don't know if Hurricane Ida, Paul, Tyrell, or whatever the hurricane name is, but they're coming back to back. Back to back. I know down in Texas, some parts of Texas, wasn't doing too well at either. So we made it on up in here today on Wednesday, the 15th of September.
Mm-hmm.
Darius, you on?
Yep. Yeah. Yes, I'm on. I'm doing good.
Everything's going on in your neck of the woods?
Well, everything's going well here in Dayton. Just I've been busy, been at my church, been on a weight loss mission, so everything's up. Yes, I go back in October to see how my progress is.
And what are you doing to get this? I remember last time we was on air, you had announced that you was getting it going. Can you tell there's any difference? You feel better?
I've been cutting back on fatty foods, been walking a lot more, drinking a lot more water, less pop.
Okay. Well, that's good. Them the three main ones, especially that soda. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been tough. So I've been on a strict diet. I've been keeping tabs.
Wonderful. So tonight we are talking about this pandemic on Shoebox Talk, and we're talking about the after effects of the pandemic. Mental health is strong. Actually, during the pandemic, it was strong. A lot of people fighting depression, and it's just not good. And I think we discussed this last time when we started talking about the pandemic, I want to say at least 3-4 months ago on the last show, about people. I think we did a survey to check on the mental health status of people, how they feeling. You know, at that time, I say about 3-4 months ago, we was really, before the 4th of July, we was really on lockdown, like April, what is it, like May, June, and July, So we got a special guest tonight. I'm excited to have him here. He is a licensed professional counselor, therapist, LPC here in Texas, and I'm elated and just excited about having him on to talk to just kind of touch bases with us in regards to this. I felt like we needed to have a professional person here to shed some light on some of the conversations and some of the issues he may be having with some of his clients in regards to this. I know that he stayed busy, so to have him on, it is definitely a pleasant surprise. And we welcome Uche here to the show, Shoebox Talk. Welcome.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you. I think it's a wonderful platform that you have here to you know, support the community and lift people's, you know, hearts and souls up, you know. So thank you for what you and Hakeem and Darius, you know, and the team are doing, you know. So thanks for having me on.
Yes. I'm glad you're here. So what do you think about this? First of all, has there been a spike? And I'm just going to jump in, a spike in mental health in regards to this pandemic? Like, we see it in the media. We know some people that's going through some things. How is it, you know, the people that you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis, all day long, is it really, you know, how's things going in the mental health community in regards to this? And you don't necessarily have, when I say mental health, not necessarily have a mental health diagnosis. Just, you know, just seeking counseling because you're trying to deal with or cope with this pandemic.
Yeah. You know, when you think about a human experience and you think about what people go through on a day-to-day basis, I think we have to keep that in mind as we're thinking about a pandemic and how it's impacted all of us as human beings. So you were asking about the spike in people, you know, what am I seeing? And yes, definitely there's been a spike with people coming in and wanting to talk to somebody. You know, I wouldn't say there's not a day that goes by that I don't get, you know, several phone calls or emails of people wanting to make an appointment, wanting to be seen. And that is a change from, you know, the last couple of years before the pandemic, where you might get, you know, one or two emails or phone calls, you know, in a week. However, now I'm seeing something coming through every day. There's somebody asking, and then the folks that are coming in and also asking for other people, do you have room to bring on this person? I have this friend. I feel comfortable talking to you. I think my friend will be comfortable talking to you. Do you have room for my friend to come talk to you? So, yes, there has been a spike, definitely.
Yeah, that's,
you know, so and I think the other thing I just want to add to that too, right? So you also see not just a spike of just, you know, anybody coming in. I'm also seeing a spike of a lot of men coming in, you know, which is not something that was there before. You know, normally in the past, before the pandemic, you know, men will come in if a partner, you know, something is going on, you know, specifically where somebody's encouraging them to go, like a spouse, you know, a family member. However, I'm seeing more men than I've ever seen before coming in as well too. And also you see men that normally would have a preference, okay, I just want to see a male. And when I'm not available, my colleagues are also seeing males as well too. And some of my colleagues are females, and the men are comfortable also going in and talking to these ladies.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I got some technical difficulties. I got knocked off here, and I wanted to respond to that. So you got people coming in wanting to talk to you. Are they expressing that it's because of the pandemic, or these are just issues that they may have had already, and the pandemic has just, you know, magnified it. It just made it worse.
Yeah. So I do think the pandemic has magnified it because people are coming in and they're telling you, you know, I've had all these things happen to me in my life when I was a kid, when I was a young adult, and I kind of felt like, you know, I had taken care of it, right? It was no longer an issue. I moved on with my life, and then all of a sudden, right, the pandemic happens, people are coming in, hey, my anxiety is going up, you know, my depression is going up, I'm fighting more with my spouse, my kids are getting on my nerves, and then they start to also talk about those things that happened a while in the past that they assume that was no longer an issue for them, they also start to notice that, okay, I never really dealt with this thing the way I thought I had dealt with it. So the pandemic has, you know, I think it's just put a level of stress on people that some people were not maybe aware of, that, you know, these things was still, this past experiences they have was still something that needs to be addressed. However, because of the pandemic, all of that is now coming to the surface for a lot of people.
Wow. Do you think that, in your opinion, professional opinion, you think that the pandemic is here to stay? I'm getting a lot of questions in regards to that in my inbox about what we think about the pandemic, you know, going to be here for a while. You know, vaccination or not, is it something that we're going to have to deal with for a long time, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think people need to keep in mind that before the pandemic, there were other things that were happening, you know, in people's lives, you know, that in so many ways mirrored what people experience now, you know. And so whether it's the pandemic or it's something else, anything that brings a level of stress for us as human beings, it's going to bring about some of the responses and experiences that people are having because of the pandemic. So I just want to make sure people understand that whether the pandemic is here to stay or not, if there's anything that is bringing about a level of uncomfortable distress in people's lives, people are going to have similar responses like we're having now with the pandemic. So now, as far as if the pandemic is going to be here forever, it's going to go, I don't have the ability to predict, that future. You know, what I can suggest is people take care of themselves. People give themselves the permission to do things they need to. They would normally, you know, do before the pandemic that allowed them to feel, you know, less stress, spend time with their family members, you know, appreciate themselves and stay active. That's what I will encourage people to do.
Well, and you know, that's kind of hard to do, you know, even with the, you know, staying active like we used to do, going to concerts, going to church, you know, just being out. Kind of hard to do. And then we got this, it's so polarized. We got this, you know, it's so political. I would say, you know, the pandemic is bad in itself, but it's like, you know, I was just watching earlier today about the family standing in line to get a medical. I didn't even know if that was even, you know, even though they passed the laws about the mask, mask mandate, but you could get a medical exemption to not wear a mask for the kids on top of that. It's just, you know, we had the football, we're in the NFL season now, football, all the people at the football. I mean, it's, you know, as they scared through the crowd. Some people got on masks, some people don't, you know. It has flared up, in my opinion, and I speak for myself, it's just a lot of anxieties in regards to you want to get out, you want to go. I don't think I can sit up in a movie theater for 2.5 hours or 2 hours to watch a movie. And that used to be one of the things I enjoyed doing, you know. And so the idea to be able to, how do you, I don't know, what do you do to get out? And you can't, it's never going to be like majority of the time, you know, majority of the things that we normally do. I finally went to Vegas with my family for a family reunion, 4th of July weekend. And that's because we were all vaccinated. We were like, okay, the numbers are going down. We're doing all this research. It was just a lot of big preparation just for that to happen. Get back, and a week later, we got a new variant, you know. So how do you get back to things? You know, do you have to first of all, a lot of us is reinventing ourselves. Like, so some of the things that we, like, Darius up here, you know, the pandemic may have gotten him thinking that he need to get more healthy. He got more time now to exercise and eat right. So some of that is reinventing yourself and, you know, getting into some things that you thought about doing pre-pandemic. But now it's like I got more time on my hands, so I can pay more attention to myself and things that I always wanted to do. Is that what you mean in regards to getting into doing things to keep the edge off of being anxious and having anxieties about mask mandates and whether or not you're going to catch the COVID? Is that some of the things that you're talking about?
Yeah, Michelle, you're definitely right. Because the idea that we can control the situation, right, especially this pandemic, I think that is out of the hands of any of us. So being able to do those things, and like you were talking about Darius, you know, doing something different as far as the way he's living his life, you know, that lifestyle change is what we all need to do. You know, so if you can't go to the gym, can you get up and walk, right? Can you go to the park, you know, and just sit there and enjoy, you know, the trees and enjoy just seeing people interact and do what they need to do? Can you get on a bike? Go for a bike, you know, go for a bike ride. Yes, you can watch movies, you know. What else can you watch? You know, watch it at home. Are there relationships in your life that maybe you spend so much time on your phone, on your computer, and you're not really engaging those relationships? Find a way to engage those relationships, you know. Board games, you know, play board games at home. And again, work it into a schedule that allows you to mix these things up. That's definitely, you know, what I was thinking about when I was saying reinventing oneself. You know, I think if I could share something personal, right? Before the pandemic, I would play soccer, you know, once a week, and then I would go to the gym maybe, you know, a couple of times a week. And then the pandemic happened, and I couldn't go to the gym. So what did I do? I started walking, and then from walking, I started jogging, and that was just a readjustment that I needed to make for myself. And I know some people are not going to be able to be that active, but whatever it is that you can do as far as an activity, I think that's the way to go about it, you know. So I think the other thing too I forgot to mention, you know, as we're talking about the pandemic, right? It is important for us to look at the pandemic through the lens of trauma, right? And when I mean trauma, I mean, you know, trauma as in distress, as in something that's happened to all of us as people, right? To, you know, I think we need to consider that trauma experience for all of us, because this is an overwhelming time for all of us as human beings. And if we look at it through the lens of trauma, then we can understand the dysfunction that it's working in people's lives, right? And that's the reason a lot of people are struggling, because of looking at it from that trauma lens. And a lot of times when people are in a traumatic experience, there's no end to that experience for them. So the body and their brain is constantly working to find a resolution to that experience. And that's what you see that happens in people that are in a traumatic experience. They're constantly working to find resolution. And if they don't find resolution, then that starts to really have an impact on their psyche, on their body, the way they think, what they believe, on their emotions. And so that's what we're seeing with the pandemic, because all of a sudden, things that used to work for us, being able to go to the movie, being able to go to the gym, you know, take a trip, go on a vacation, all of these things we're not able to do. And so our ability to cope is
is no longer readily available to all of us, and we have to reinvent the way of living and the way of doing things.
And that takes, just that in itself takes a thought process in itself. Where things that we would normally get out and do, get in your car and go to the movies, or get in your car and go, you got to think about it. You got to make sure you got your mask, you got your hand sanitizer. You know what I mean? You got to be sure, okay, what time? For me, and maybe I'm doing too much, you know, I'm at the airport. And then you recognize who's not being compliant. I haven't seen people in the store have an argument because somebody don't got their mask on, you know. And so it's just different now, you know, than, and I think a lot of, I think this, if it didn't do anything else, is caused us to really understand how we really took things for granted, like general life for granted. You know, going to the football game, going to, you know, like you say, play soccer and just being around. Because we're made, and I know you can verify this, can agree to this, we're made as human beings to be cohabitating with each other. And so to stay isolated and be limited on what you can do and how you do it, that's going to affect the psyche, like you said. So, you definitely hit the nail on the head on that one.
Michelle, you know, were you going to say something, Darius? Oh, God, I can't.
Oh.
No, go ahead. Hold on, Darius. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Michelle, what you're saying is right. You know, we none of us live in an island where we don't interact with human beings. And we've been doing that for such a long time. You know, we don't think twice about, hey, let's go grab dinner. You know, you get in the car and you go. And, you know, you're not thinking about somebody has a mask on or not. Now we have to consider all of that. And then also as human beings, right? What do we do as human beings? We also go into this mindset where we can, if we're not careful, we can become hypervigilant, you know, because we're worried about somebody wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, if they have COVID, if they don't have COVID, what's going to happen if I get sick, you know, what are the implications for me financially and for my family? So all the things are also in the back of our mind, and it's not allowing us to even consider going in and engaging with other people, which is what we need to do as human beings. And so, so we are built to interact, but we cannot interact, you know. And that really just takes a toll on us as people because we are not connecting. You know, we are built to connect with each other, and when that connection is not happening, it definitely does impact us, you know, as people. It impacts our relationships, it impacts our mood, it impacts our sleep, and, you know, and just the way we look at the world and we look at the way we look at things.
I agree. Yes, that's hilarious.
Yes, when we talked about the mask, I wear mine everywhere I go, but when I be seeing everything on people arguing and fighting over mask mandate, I said it's ridiculous. But I told a friend of mine, I said, if I do plan to go to a game in Cleveland, I'm wearing my mask throughout the whole game, because the first few weeks I've been seeing these games, I have not seen not one person in the stand wear a mask. Not one.
Wow.
And I'm
what
I
kind
was
of game was this? That was outside?
I looked at the Cleveland Kansas City game last week. It just amazed me. I just said, wow. And I said,
they didn't require you to wear no mask in the game?
I just watched it on TV, but I read up on here in Cleveland, if I do go to a Browns game, it's either or. So
gotcha.
So I'm gonna be on the safe side, but
what I said to Uche earlier is that I think that we're gonna be wearing these masks for a long time. there's supposed to be another variant coming in, and these vaccines that we've been taking may not even be helpful. It just seems like it's just magnifying, and just the idea that is, you know, is getting, it doesn't see, it gets better, then it doesn't, and then it gets, you know, then it gets worse, and so on and so forth, can cause a lot of anxiety. People are having PTSD, and, you know, medical terminologies are coming about now. Things like PTSD and schizophrenia and just paranoia, and, you know, everybody is aggressively, you know, dealing with each other, angry and just mood disorder. It's just a lot of, I just feel like, you know, working in the mental health community, I just feel like there's a lot of people who may have been lower, you know, low-key, you know, with PTSD or whatever. This is either one, it's a new diagnosis, mm-hmm. or it has flared up so many people's issues. And one thing, like you, and Ucho, you know this as well, too. One thing piggybacks off of the other. So you may have some issues that happen to you as a young person, you know, that you've been dealing with. Maybe you've been raped or molested or whatever the case may be. And all these mental health anxieties and stuff start coming up, and then those things start coming up. You know what I'm saying? Things that you dealt with or didn't deal with, chose not to deal with. And I've been having those conversations with people. You know, my husband cheated on me, you know, 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now I'm looking outside. Now he's around me all the time. And now I'm remembering, you mm-hmm. know, that's coming back up in relationships and stuff like that. You know, am I dealing with this dude, you know, after he did me? And all that kind of stuff that you had dealt with and moved on from is mm-hmm. starting to come back up. Those are the conversations. Those are the stuff I'm like, what? This happened long time. Yeah, but I'm feeling some type of way now. And I'm like, what? You know, so, I mean, it's just, especially in our community, you know, like, you know, we already struggle with that as it is in regards to relationships and staying, you know, together and stuff like that. You know, I got a couple that they about on, get, you know, you get to separate because one wants to take the vaccine and the other one don't. You know,
if
you're going to make me sick. What you mean you're not taking the vaccination? People just leaving each other because of that. You know, so, yeah, it's just broad. It's just, you know, it's the children, you know, and I think a lot of that is coming from their parents. That, you know, we got, you know, why wouldn't you want to protect the kid? Regardless, at some point it's your right. We get it. But now we're talking about life or death, you know. And if you choose, if it was the virus where we couldn't get, it wasn't so contagious, and you just choose to take a chance with your life, fine. You got the right. You got that right. But you're putting this virus causes you to put other people's life on the line, you know. And all this fake, go ahead, Kim. I know you probably have some questions by now because I can go on and on and on. I've been having these conversations for some time. That's why I said it's important that we get a therapist on board, a therapist to answer some of these questions and shed some light on how we're feeling, because it's a lot. It's a lot, the conversations I've been having. You, Hakim, you had something?
Yeah, I wanted to touch on a few things that was discussed earlier. To Michelle's point, where she talked about childhood traumas and stuff like that, In your field, in your office, have you encountered that triggering some people due to the lockdowns and the lack of employment? And are you seeing people come in talking about they're being triggered because of the pandemic?
Yes, Hakim. So thank you for asking that question, because I think that's a really, really, really helpful question and ties into everything we're talking about, right? So there's two ways that we can respond as people, right? Whenever we're faced with anything that we don't understand, that is overwhelming. And we've established that the pandemic is a traumatic experience for all of us, right? And so how do human beings respond when they're faced with, you know, a distress? They're either going to what? They're either going to become anxious, overwhelmed. They're going to become aggressive. They're going to feel anger, rage. They're going to become impulsive. Mm-hmm. They might start overeating. They might start not eating. And they might become too rigid. and they may have obsessive, you know, thoughts going on, right? That's one way we can respond as human beings, all react as human beings when they're stressed. The other way we can also do is that we can disconnect, we can shut ourselves down, and we can, you know, all of a sudden start having memory problems and become unavailable emotionally for our kids and for our partners. So when you have this reaction happening for us as people, then all of a sudden we are not feeling safe anymore, right? And unconsciously, we can start to have thoughts that are connected to, you know, earlier childhood experiences because we don't feel safe. We don't feel like, you know, we're going to get out of this situation. And it reminds us of previous experiences when you were younger, where you felt like you couldn't get out of danger. And so, yeah, that's a lot of the conversation that's coming from the work that I'm doing with people, where people are coming in and saying, I'm thinking about what happened, you know, when I was 12 years old, when I was, you know, 5 years old, when I was 15 years old. And I thought I had already addressed it, you know, but all of a sudden, I just lost my job and I feel like I don't matter anymore. And all of this is just coming back to me. That's happening. People are expressing that when they come in, you know, to the office, to the sessions.
Yeah, I ask because we're seeing a lot of that up here in Pennsylvania. I've worked with a couple of nonprofits that are dealing with behavioral health and social emotional situations, and I have a client who, you know, writing books and stuff about childhood traumas and how to overcome them and stuff like that. So I'm familiar with it. Earlier you discussed how the men are coming in the most. Do you think that is have you guys had any exit interviews or anything to suss out why is it the men are overtaking the place and less women?
So real quick, so the men are not coming in the most. There's just been an uptick in men coming in. Yeah. So I haven't had a chance to do any exit interviews, you know, with the folks that are coming in because some of these are like older people, older clients I used to work with that are coming back in, right? So not just new ones that are coming in. Some of these are older clients, and they're coming in because of the tension in the communities, you know, the politics around the pandemic, and how it's really just, you know, gone across the board, impacting everything. You know, people can talk about things at work. You know, people are showing up to work and somebody's wearing a mask, somebody's not wearing a mask. It's just there's a level of discomfort and awkwardness for people around all of that. You know, so for a lot of this man, they're having to navigate through that as well too. But I do think it would be helpful to do that exit interview, if, you know, sometime in the future, eventually, just to kind of get to the idea of, you know, what could be the top issue, you know, that made people feel like they need to come in the first place.
I absolutely agree. Yeah, because especially when there's an uptick in the men. Now, are these are you seeing the uptake in black men or just men in general?
Black men.
Yeah, so that thought.
Yeah.
Because
black men, they don't typically go to counseling. Like, they got to really, you know, that's not something that black men do, going to sit up and talk with a counselor about what they're going through.
So, that's why I asked, because it's
it's either a change in is either things are changing where things are getting as serious, black men are taking their mental health a little more seriously, or it's getting that desperate. That's why I was asking about the exit interviews, because I know that there's a push in several states around the country to find out why so many black men are now coming in to talk to people instead of, you know, like they should have been doing in the first place, right? I see a therapist twice a month, so I know the importance of mental health. But yeah, I just thought that you know, I wanted to get your take on that, because when I start seeing more and more brothers going to get counseling, I'm happy in one sense, and then I'm nervous in the other, because you guys never wanted to go. Why you want to do it now? Are you feeling that desperate, or is this an awakening?
Yeah.
Right.
So remember, yeah, I remember what we said earlier about how this is a traumatic experience for all of us. And so is it possible that, you know, we are now caught up in this loop of, I've been managing, I've been doing this for such a long time, taking care of my family and taking care of myself, to where all of a sudden all the things I'm doing that used to work for me, right, are no longer doing well. They're no longer working for me. And so I have to do something different that I've never considered doing ever in my life, which is going to sit there and talk to somebody. You know. So I agree with you. I do commend, you know, black men that are brave enough to go in and speak with somebody, and engage with somebody. I think it takes a level of courage for anybody, you know, to go in and talk to somebody. And I hope that more brothers and more black men and people of color will take that take that leap to really, you know, go talk to somebody and engage them. And I haven't really talked to anybody about this. You know, I'm considering doing like a group for men, by professional men, just for them to come in and find a space to learn how to ground themselves, to learn how to self-soothe and all of that. So I'm considering a virtual group, because there's no way one person can take care of so many people all at one time, you know. And if there's room for me to maybe work with six people at one time, and all we're doing is really trying to strengthen the ability to you know, to self-soothe and calm yourself and be mindful of what's going on and how to take care of yourself, I think should be beneficial, you know, to the community. So that's something that I'm thinking as well too, just because of how many people I'm seeing coming in and coming through.
Yeah. That is the idea of a men's group is awesome.
You think that you think men will open up in a group setting?
There's something about a group setting, right? You know, it depends on how you present it. You know, it depends on the parameters that you put in place. And I think there also needs to be some level of screening that is involved in that before you can actually, you know, set up something like that. And what I'm looking at is not necessarily for them to come in and talk right off the back, right? It's really more of coming in and how can we, right, how can I help myself, you know, with my anxiety? What are the things I could do to help me with depression? What are the things I could do to help me with being impulsive? That's what I'm looking at to do initially. And then once people get to a place where, you know, they've really got a chance to practice those skills for some time, then we can consider, is this a safe enough place for us now to go deep, right? Mm-hmm. And when I mean go deep, you know, you know what I mean by going deep. Now let's go deep to that place that nobody wants to go to. And so that's the idea I'm looking at. You know, spend maybe the first month, you know,
creating that sense of safety and giving them a chance to practice the skills and then go and teach those skills to their family members. And then when everybody's ready, you know, then we take a vote. Are we ready to go? Are we not ready to go? If you're not ready, what do we need to do to get ready to go to that place? So that's doing
good work right there. That's doing good work. So you and I have had conversations in the past. When you start scratching off the scab and digging deeper, you then have to prepare yourself, or the society has to prepare itself, as well as the family members, whoever's in your immediate circle, to deal with the aftermath of that. You're going to start seeing things from your mate or from your brother or your sister or whoever the case may be, a friend, that you hadn't seen before, right? Because you dig deeper and you're going into some caves, you know, with a match, trying to see, you know, them little ankles and stuff. So what do you recommend for someone that's getting ready to go down that rabbit hole? And when you dig in deeper, you're going to start tapping into some real heavy situations in regards to what that person's trauma is. How does a black man, my mate goes to see you, he starts working on these issues, it's starting to come up, you know, due to the pandemic, so on and so forth. So as a mate, what do you recommend? How do I help this person? Am I going to need to go in there with them at some point? Am I going to need to, you know, when you see your clients and they have mates or whatever the case may be, husbands, wife, whatever, do you also counsel the spouse to let them know to prepare themselves to deal with your husband may start crying, or he may start having the shakes, or you know, he may start drinking or whatever the case may be. These are the things you're going to see. So you got to, you know, that can, somebody not understanding that can make matters worse. So is that something that you also do at some point?
So at some point we definitely encourage, real quick, and that's a great question, Michelle. That's a great, great question, right? At some point, I would encourage people to, you know, bring the spouse in, and let them know if they have any questions, you know. But it's up to the individual to make that decision, because that is also the safe space for them to come in and unburden themselves and talk. So whenever they are comfortable and ready, they can bring that person in, and we can bring them up to speed and we can talk to them. What I usually do, you know, with people is that before we even consider delving deep into any of you know, the experiences that we know that can really rattle people and shake people up, we want to establish that person has the ability to self-soothe. You know, so that is the foundational work that we have to do. When any of us has the ability to
explain self-soothe for the folks that don't understand what you mean when you say that.
Okay, to self-soothe, right, is just really being able to say, I'm feeling anxious, I know I'm feeling anxious, and I'm going to go drink some water, and I'm going to take some deep breath, and I'm going to calm myself down. That's that's what it means to self-soothe yourself. You're not running away from that anxiety. You are just taking it down a notch or two, you know, and you are flexible. You are present. You are engaged. You are calm. You are cool. However, you're still, you know, feeling anxious, and you know what you're feeling anxious about. So self-soothing involves, you know, really helping yourself to manage whatever emotions you're experiencing at any particular time. That's what it means. Some people call it self-regulation, you know, and some people call it calming yourself, you know. So that's what it means, you know. So So we take time to establish that that person can and knows how to self-regulate. And what I also encourage people to do is if they have a spouse at home, if they have a kid at home, I challenge them to teach those tools to their family members.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
I say go home and teach your kid and teach your spouse what you just learned. And then you're going to have to come back and let me know how that went. And because for us to be able to teach somebody else something else, we have to grasp what, you know, what we're teaching them. And so that is something that I do with people. And then based on their feedback, you know, and then based on also how they're doing in the sessions with me, then we get to know, okay, is this person ready to dive in, you know, to explore, you know, the deep experiences that may be troubling for them. So, so that's,
I definitely,
that's what we deal with.
Yeah, I can personally testify to that notion. I have a 16-year-old who has Asperger's syndrome and ADHD and anxiety issues on top of it. He's inherited some of my issues. And some of the things I learned dealing with depression and anxiety for 30 years, I've been teaching him for the last 7 years, and it works. You know, you it's an issue of mindfulness. Could you touch on how important mindfulness is to those who are suffering from depression and anxiety?
Yes. And I'm happy for you that you are, you know, you are passing the skills along to your kid, because what you're doing is that you're setting him up for success, you know, because he's going to take on these skills and it's going to help him, you know, build the capacity to manage himself and to have a fuller experience in life and with his interactions with his peers. So I'm really happy that you're doing that. So the idea of mindfulness, right? A lot of times people make it to look like this big impossible thing to do, you know. And I learned from you know one of my colleagues a long time ago that mindfulness is just really being present, you know.
Yep.
Just like the four of us are having this conversation and there's people listening to this conversation and they're actually able to follow the conversation, you know, even if something happens in the other room, you know, they get distracted for a few minutes or a few seconds, they do what? They come back to the sound of my voice, to the sound of your voice, Michelle, to the sound of your voice, you know, Darius and Hakeem. That's mindfulness, just being present. And so it's sometimes people think like you have to be there 24/7 and not get distracted. That is impossible. That is not, you know, that is not realistic. So mindfulness is being able to come back to what you're doing in that moment after you get distracted by a sound,
exactly,
by a noise, by light, whatever it is. And so being able to come back to whatever you're doing now allows you not to focus on whatever experience you were thinking about, right? Or whatever thought you were thinking about that's bringing along this sad and depressive feeling. Whatever you were thinking along or remembering that was bringing up the anxiety for you. Right? Because if you are really present in that moment doing what you're doing and not focusing on that past, then that past will not have a grip in the present, have a stranglehold in the present on what you're trying to do. You know, so because for us as human beings, right, we are always caught between the past and the future. We are always in that place where we find ourselves to wanting to travel back in time, you know, to figure some things out, you know, and make some changes. Are we trying to go to the future because we want to control the future so that what happened in the past doesn't happen in the future? And while we're doing that, it's stirring up all kinds of anxiety for us. It's stirring all kinds of sad, uncomfortable feelings for us, you know, and we forget to be present, connected to the people around us, to what we're doing in that moment. Being mindful and giving ourselves the permission to be mindful, you know, in so many ways allow us to drop the level of discomfort, depression that we're feeling, anxiety that we're feeling, or frustration that we're feeling, you know.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Darius, you wanted to jump in?
Yes, I was going to add two comments. First, when I watched the events on TV, I recently watched the Olympics recently, and seeing like there was no crowd, and it kind of felt different. But when I read the stories I posted on in the group on Shoebox, talk about like Simone Biles, that kind of affected her. Everybody made like a big deal, like what's going on? And then it came out after the fact that one of her relatives died while she was in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it came out maybe.
You never know what a person's going through, you know.
Yeah, and it affected her performance.
Yeah.
Now you see more athletes, they're coming out now. Because more athletes are coming out of the booth said mental health awareness. And I said it's getting more attention now than more than ever before. And I just said another thing we had prior to talk about is this vaccine hesitancy, and it just boggles my mind. Like the people that don't take it, they die from COVID, which they should not have to die. They would have taken the vaccine.
I want to ask you what you thought about that. Your thoughts, real quick, Uche, in regards to this vaccine. There's so much. Incorrect information going out about these vaccines, and mostly a lot of our people are not. It's just one conspiracy after the other. What's your take on it, on the vaccines, and the people of color that chooses not to take it due to misinformation?
Yeah, the misinformation, I think it's a huge component driving people not taking the vaccine. And we live in an age where I can Google anything I want, and I can tell people that I know something when I don't know a whole lot about what's going on. So. My hope is that people will ask themselves the question, right, about how does my choice of not, you know, being safe, right, how does that impact everybody else? So I think that's the question that people need to ask themselves. And I think the other thing too, Michelle, you know, is this, right? What's getting in the way of people choosing to make the choice that is safe, right? Mm-hmm. Versus people making the choice that is not safe, right? There is something driving people to make those choices that are not safe, that is putting them in danger,
that is putting other people in danger as well too.
And so I
think for me, that's something I'm hoping, you know, people can be honest with themselves. What is driving my choices? Am I so afraid or am I so disconnected, you know, from what's happening that I'm making these choices, you know? Because if people are connected to a community, if people value the relationships in their lives, if people value their friends, then they're going to make choices that's going to, in a sense, allow them, you know, to maintain those relationships, to consider the viability of those relationships. They're going to be flexible versus being rigid about, I don't want to take a vaccine. And right now it's the vaccine that we're talking about, you know. However, we can apply this to all other life experiences. There are other things that are happening, you know, around that are impacting people. But right now, you know, the vaccine is the primary one that we're talking about. What is driving that person's choice? You know, and not giving them the chance to be flexible and be accommodating, which is what we need in relationships, what we need in interacting with people, you know. And so I don't have the answer to that question, but it is concerning, definitely concerning.
Okay, all right.
Awesome.
And that will probably be another show. We had one on talking about vaccinations a few months ago, and it got a little heated, so... We appreciate that. We're coming to a close. We're getting down to the nitty gritty here, to the last few minutes of the show. See how fast having a conversation, it takes an hour up with, and it'll be over with before you know it. So anyway, Hakim, how much longer we got?
We got about 2 minutes. So if the our guest would be happy enough to plug himself and how we can get a hold of him, and anyone in the San Antonio area might need his services. How can you get in touch with him?
Right. Uche?
I have a practice here in San Antonio, and people can get a hold of me and my colleagues by going to HopeVillageWellnessCenter.com. And on the website, they can have a chance to look at all the counselors, and they can use the client portal to request appointment with anybody that they feel comfortable they want to work with. So they can also call the phone number 210-467-5207. And leave a message, and somebody will get back to them as soon as possible. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
All right.
This is definitely a place of wellness. I'm glad that you showed up and came out tonight to break bread with us and answer all these questions and speak to mental health and just everything we got going on. You definitely have a platform here with us. You're welcome to come back, and we always need some kind of a different perspective on not just mental health, but just what's going on. We keep the conversation going here on Shoebox Talk. So we appreciate you showing up tonight. I know that you're extremely busy, and taking the time out to talk with us is I just love it. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity. You know, Darius, Michelle, Akeem,
yes.
Thank you so much for having me on. Definitely enjoyed your company, and I hope that this is not the last, you know, of the shows that I do. I think having done this one, I'm looking forward to, you know, other possible ways of bringing information to the community to empower people and to help people live, you know, successful life. Yeah. So thank you
okay.
so much.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that concludes our show, everyone. Please make sure you guys who are looking for work, you want to work from home, you want to be your own boss, please check out our website at Zuri Inc. That's ZHURIINC.com to apply for your work from home positions. And if you want to do some shopping, do it the Shoe Feet Toes Club. And that's all the time we got. See you guys next week. Good night, everybody.
Good night, y'all. Good night.
Good night. God bless. Good night.